title this morning is Attracting the Unbeliever. Attracting the Unbeliever. Attracting the Unbeliever. And this morning I want to bring you just some encouragement and some help so that you can be blessed of the Lord this morning. And I want to show you some principles and some things that God showed me through, you know, living His Word over a 20-year period that, you know, God wants you to attract people to Him and not run them off. Amen? And I want to assure you about something that you can witness to people because it's in your DNA. It was in Jesus and it's in you. You have the same blood that was in Jesus. The same blood that flowed in Jesus is inside of you. So you can't tell me you're not able to witness a little because what you have is a little Jesus in you. You got a little God in you. There's a portion that He left behind and He made you special and He made you different than the person next to you so that you can touch somebody else that they won't be able to touch. I can't reach all the masses. Sometimes my teaching is not liked by many, and I'm not welcome in certain churches because I'm a teacher, preacher, and I encourage people to do the Word, and I don't take no as an answer, and if it's no in a certain way from God, I say, well, no right here, but what am I missing? It's on me to search it out. It's on for me to figure it out. It's on for me to go deep, a little bit deeper into the Word so that I can figure this thing out called life. Amen? So that I can help somebody who doesn't know Jesus. God's placed a little bit of Him inside of you so that you can share it with the world. And there are many examples in the Word of men and women of God that were attractive and contagious to non-believers that drew them to God. Amen. Your job is to draw people to Jesus. Amen. So we want to complete what God's already started in you. And let me tell you, it's one of the most rewarding things is to share the gospel with somebody. And then when they get saved or they get set free by your testimony, all of a sudden, you know that they're no longer going to hell, but there's a spot in heaven for them. Amen? So this morning, we're going to take a look at the Word this morning. And we're going to look in the Bible in Titus. Titus 2, verse 9. It's the Amplified Bible. Titus 2, verse 9. Titus 2, verse 9, says, tell bondservants to be submissive to their masters. Now, let me just put it in this vernacular. Tell your people at church to submit to your pastor. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. All right, let me rephrase it. Children, you should submit to your parents. Oh, okay. Employee should submit to their employer. Oh, is that what that says? We see, we don't like the part where we got to be submissive because we want to do our own thing, our own will, but God wants you to change your will for His will. But we'll continue. It says, be submissive to their masters and be pleasing and give satisfaction in every way. Warn them not to talk back or contradict, nor to steal that pencil from them at work or take those small things of value, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything that they may be an ornament, I like this, an ornament, and do credit to the teaching which is from and about God our Savior. Let me break this down for you. Just leave that scripture up there for a second. Don't take those small things. Don't take that pencil. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't come late and leave early from your employer. Don't talk bad about them, even though they may not be the perfect place to work. When you get there, you'll mess it up, so it ain't going to be perfect no more. I found a perfect church. We better all leave now because you're here now. I mean, there ain't no perfect church. There's a perfect God. But it says, I like this, but prove themselves to be truly loyal. Oh, I like that, loyalty. Entirely reliable. When you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Don't be one of those waffling Christians that say, I'm going to be here, Pastor, and then on Saturday or Sunday when we got this thing to clean up or do something, well, and you don't show up. You can't be there, say, I can't be there. Be a person that's reliable. If you're going to say it, you're going to do it, do it. Be faithful throughout. Because see, what you're doing is is you're a testament for Jesus and his word. I like this. It says you're an ornament. We're going to talk about that here in a second. We got to prove ourselves to be faithful, loyal, and reliable. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm faithful, I'm loyal, I'm reliable. Shout, Jesus, help me. Change from the inside out by the power of your word. See, we got to learn to be faithful, loyal, and reliable. We got to be that Christian, that employee, that husband, that wife, that child that is faithful, loyal, and reliable. Are you truly faithful, loyal, and reliable? Can God rely on you this morning? Oh, I don't know. Most of the time he can, you know, but sometimes. Come on now, just keep it real. See, an ornament. I like to hear that, an ornament. An ornament is used to decorate. It is used to draw attention to itself. God wants you to be an ornament so that people are drawn to you, and then they find that there's a Jesus inside of you, not this fanatical, weird, you know, tongue-talking, you know, Bible-throwing words at people kind of thing, but you're just by the love of Jesus and the way that you express yourself, they're drawn to you. There's a Jesus inside of you, amen? And that people want to get saved. People want to have what you have. They want peace mostly when they're going through. So most people want peace right now because they don't know what to do. I get more people calling me, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And there's other countries. And should we go there? Well, is the president's jacked up or the Congress is messed up? And this, I don't really worry what they're all doing. I want to stay in my lane and do what I need to do. Amen? I just pray for them all. But look, think about this ornament during Christmas time. You ever have those special ornaments you put on a tree and certain ones are sparkling and some of them have a year, or maybe you have a picture of your child on there and it has a year or something that they made in school, and it's used to show something. It catches your eye. It's usually a beautiful or something that draws your attention. Well, God wants you to be that person that draws attention, not to yourself, but to the Jesus, to the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Amen? See, when someone is attractive, it pleases your eyes. When something is not attractive, you kind of go, I got to run from that. We've all been called to win souls for Jesus. We've all been called into the kingdom of God because the gospel is supposed to be attractive. Jesus made the gospel attractive. That's why people were always constantly following him. He was never religious. He was always trying to draw you into a relationship. This morning, who's following you? I'm not saying on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, but who's really following you? Is there something about you that makes you different that people want to draw and gravitate to? Just a question. Who's following you? When people see your life, are they drawn to you, or are you repelling them? Do you have people want to desire more of Jesus? Because, see, they want what you have, but they might not know how to get it, so you got to stay in the fight a little bit to help them. Let me help you with something this morning. Shout, my faith should be seen. Touch your neighbor, said, my faith should be seen. Take a look at Mark 2, verse 1. Mark 2, verse 1. You're going to like this. Mark 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah. They're all going to come and check out Jesus. JC's in the house. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the house. Some famous musicians in the house. We all go pay money to go see them or something. But they heard that Jesus was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. So there were so many people that wanted to see Jesus. Why? Because there was something about him. So there's no longer room to receive them near the door, and he preached the word to them. He preached the word. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. So four guys got together, and they had a buddy that was crippled, was lame, could not walk, was on a cot. Think about that for a second. Four guys had to carry this guy before Jesus, and they say, oh my God, there's a long line, I'm going back. I ain't going to go fight through that crowd. But they kept on looking at their buddy here, that they knew if they could get to Jesus, that Jesus could do something about his situation. So they brought this paralytic. Four guys carried him. And they couldn't come near because of the crowd. Sometimes we allow some things to hold us back from what God wants us to do. Sometimes God allows a crowd to see if you're going to be resourceful enough. And it says, and they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, and I'm just picturing this. There's this house. And maybe there's a ladder attached to the side of the house. Probably not. But they had to climb up on this roof and cut a hole in it, dig a hole, whatever they need to do to get this guy through. Now, I'm just, you know, saying, all these people are watching this. And these four guys had to, I mean, think about it, carry this guy up a ladder and get him up onto the roof and then have enough strength to bring him down. So they probably strapped him into this is like a stretcher, I would imagine. They strapped him down, and then they dropped him down before Jesus. Four guys were just kind of holding him down, you know, getting him in front of the Lord. Didn't allow the circumstances around them to bother them. They uncovered the roof where he was, so when they had broken through, they had let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And then when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Those are people that are doubting that, you know, this Jesus word even works. You know those people, your neighbors and your friends and those that go to work with you and say, you know, you can do that, Jesus. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. They said, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? See, they didn't even know who they were in contact with. All yet, they went to go there to be, what, entertained by Jesus? To see what he was about to do? He drew this big crowd and still didn't know who he was. See, sometimes people come to these big ministries, they hear the word of God, but they still don't know who Jesus is when they leave. But they all came because, you know, there's this Jesus. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, not, you know, an hour later, not, you know, 6 weeks and 7 days passed by. No. It says, immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. So here's a guy that got broke into the place by his four friends that had some faith, because there was no room at the inn. And these guys had to be strong to lift. I mean, dead weight is dead weight. Heavy weight is heavy weight. I mean, a person, you know, weighs maybe 150 pounds, feels more than 150 pounds when you're trying to move them around. I mean, pull them up on a ladder and get four guys on the roof. Two of them had to wait on the roof, and two had to be down below pushing the guy up. I mean, picture that. I mean, it took some effort. You know, your faith takes a little effort. Your circumstances that you're going to overtake take a little effort. But everybody's watching. All the unbelievers were watching. They all gathered in a crowd. They all wanted to get there because they knew that JC was in the house. But I like this. He said immediately he rose, took his bed, and then out in the presence of them all, so you know, he walked in front of them all. There must have been a pathway that opened up. And I could just picture this guy. Rejoicing and screaming and shouting that he just got healed by the Lord. What a testimony he had. I could see the Pharisees saying, who's going to pay for that roof? Shout, Jesus, help me to show off my faith by being a doer of the word. See, you got to be found working and implementing the gospel in and through your life. These four men carried the sick guy to see Jesus into a house that was overcrowded. They had every reason not to go. We have lots of reasons not to go out and witness to people. Well, you know, I stutter in front of people. And then I get nervous, and then I can't lead them like Moses did. Come on now. Well, I would have went to that ministry across the street, down the road, but it was going to take me an hour to drive there, and you know, I was tired, and God told you to go, and you still chose not to go. You don't want to do anything that God really wants you to do because it takes a little effort. The man climbed on top of the roof and then lowered the man. Think about the effort that was taken to go and have to carry this guy. First, carry him how many miles? Who knows? And then say, oh my God, there's a line. We got to wait. No, they figured I'm going to be resort. I got to get this guy. I got to get my buddy to Jesus. If we would take that same tenacity about our family members that need Jesus, our friends that need Jesus, and just, you know, take it maybe an effort to maybe take a half hour out of our day and just pray for those people. I mean, that's like climbing up that ladder and lifting that person and opening the hole and get them in front of Jesus. But I know we're busy. We're tired. We only got 6 hours of sleep, you know, Pastor. I'm living on 5 and 6 hours of sleep. Well, maybe God will let you live on 4 and a half and bless. And Jesus saw their bold act of their faith and forgave their sins. And the scribes observed it and said, hey, man, what's this Jesus doing? See, even Jesus knew that he was going to get a little bit of a conflict from people when he started doing. When you start doing things for Jesus, expect people not to like you. Amen? Amen. But Jesus didn't worry about that. He said, hey, you know what? I'm gonna fix you guys. Just arise and walk and take your mat and get out of here and show everybody. Just show my goodness to everybody. Just go be a testimony. That guy didn't even have to say anything. All he had to do was pick up his mat and walk. He didn't have to say, oh, and what a testimony he was. You don't think people started believing Jesus after they saw that? See, you got to understand, when people see you defeating strongholds and challenges, they want to know the gospel too. Through your actions, the unbeliever will be attracted to the Jesus that's inside of you. Shout, it's inside of me. See, it's inside of me. See, it's inside of me. Everybody wants what you have, but they don't want to do what you do to get it. Everybody wants to be blessed like Pastor Diane and Pastor Joe. Oh, I want what they got. But you don't know the hell I catch every day. You don't know that I only get 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Once in a while, my wife says, you got to sleep in today. It's like a miracle. Why are you up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Because God woke me up. We got to pray for something. I know, Lord, I got to get up at 4:45. Come on now. Can we have one of those fast prayers? Go empty that 401k out. You're starting a church. I'm doing what? Huh? What do you mean sell my wife's convertibles? Told you to sell your motorcycle. Yes, Lord, but her convertible was easier to sell. He got both of them, the convertible and the motorcycle. Why? So that we could draw people to Jesus. I don't know how many people's lives have been changed through this ministry, or through the internet, or through this church, or places that we've ministered to. I don't know. I'll see them when I get to heaven. There's going to be a count there. And we didn't do it by being religious. We did it by trying to draw people into relationship. I was telling Dell this morning, I said, you know what? I was never impressed by people that could recite the Bible and use scripture and verse on me all the time. It made me feel about this big. But what I found is, I might not know the scripture and verse. Like, you know, you might say, hey, Pastor, what's, Romans 12, verse 1? And I'll tell you right now because I can read it. But I mean, by just reciting it. But I'll tell you, I probably have read it enough where it's seated in me where I just go do it. Just not a hearer of the word, I'm a doer of the word. See, there's a difference. I already know the word says don't just be a hearer, but be a doer. By his stripes that we're healed. I already know that. I don't remember what scripture and verse it is, but I already know that he's a healer. Walk in testimony of that. And see, what Jesus wants you to be is just say, I don't imagine Jesus getting this whole group of people and saying, thus saith the Lord. And then, No. I think he just drew people because he told stories and parables and talked about life, and he was loving and caring and a listening ear. And even when the people were jacked up, he would say, oh, that's cool, I still love you. Be changed by the renewing of your mind. The gospel has the power to change us. Take a look at Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. New King James Version, Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this way of the world. Don't do it the world's way. Do it God's way. God's way is a higher way. God's way is a better way. God's way will lead you to another place in him. Amen. Shout, I will be refreshed and renewed by the power of the God's word. See, if a person be in Christ, he is a new creation entirely. The old creation has passed away. This is what people are attracting. There's a newness about it. I don't know about you. I like new cars. I like new motorcycles. I like new houses. We go look at them all the time. You know, I don't buy them all, but we look at to get ideas. We go, man, this is nice. This is cool, man. You can really live that way. Someone living that way because someone's buying that house for $950,000. I like to say, well, will you sign in? Yes, my name is Thurston Howell III. They go, oh, you can afford this house. So, yeah, don't worry about that. I know the price tag says $3 million. Doesn't even affect me. Just the name Thurston just sounds like I'm a billionaire. But it draws people. Let me tell you, it draws people. That agent can't get me enough bottled cold water or iced tea or whatever. They say, well, sir, yeah, but we... Would you like one of these special cookies we made? Sure, I'll take two of those. People are drawn to the Jesus in me. Amen. They thought maybe I had some money. I do, because I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just don't walk around with two pennies anymore. I got two quarters. Amen. Always increasing. The old man washed away, but there's a new creation. And there's a new creation. People are drawn to something inside of you. The newness in you. There's something about you that's different. Remember when people talk, they look at you and say, there's something different about you. There's something you changed up. There's your hairdo different? No. You lose 3 pounds? No. Something about, oh, you don't talk negative anymore. You're going through the storm and you're not allowing a storm. You know what? You got some peace on you that you've never had before. And I can't understand it because I know you're catching hell and family members have left you and this happened and that happened and this, all these things, and you still got peace. They're drawn to that. People are attracted to the change in you. They want to know why you had this radical transformation that's taken place, and then you just tell them. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many things? So what did he leave out? So all things become new. So I don't need Botox or a facelift. All I need is more Jesus, and Jesus needs a little bit more of me. I need more of his will to be done in my life than my will be done in my life. I got to let the joy ooze out of me so that people will see the gladness that I have in Christ Jesus. I got to be a joyful Christian. Place a smile. Quit walking around being one of those sour faced. There's nothing working out for me. I'm a Christian, though. I could be drawn to you. I won't run from you. Go hang around with that sinner. At least they're fun. At least I'll rub off on them. They ain't rubbing off on me. I'll rub off on them. I see you're sinning and you got all this stuff going on. Brother, let me tell you about this Jesus. You think you got stuff going on for you? No, it's just Jesus, man. He'll really hook you up. Can you put him in a needle? No. But it's just his word that you take. It's like a NutriBlast. Amen. Let's not talk about that because none of us want to go on lose weight. We just want to, eat whatever we want to eat. The two Burger Kings for $4.44. Amen. We want to have it our way instead of God's way. Come on now. I know I'm jumping on your toes this morning. Too bad. I still love you. See, Jesus doesn't want you religious. Jesus wants you in relationship. And what happens is we get all caught up in this thing that, oh, I can say all these scriptures and all this stuff. And that's all religion, and God just wants you to be spiritual. You know? That's why they call it the Holy Ghost. Boo! To scare the hell out of you. Come on now. Am I telling the truth? Because there's a lot of people with the devil inside of them. Amen? And you're the one that's supposed to be the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be God to them. You're supposed to show up and you're pitiful and you got nothing going on and I can't even buy a coffee. And no one wants to be drawn to that. People want to be drawn to someone that says, I'm going through some stuff, and they're watching you. Trust me, they're watching you. They're all looking at you saying, uh-oh, that person going, they're going to fall. How are they going to do it? I'm going to step by step with Jesus. Jesus, I'm going, Jesus, I'm walking with you. I'm going with you. I'm going to follow your way. And people are watching you all that. You don't realize how many people are watching you on a daily basis, and you are being that Jesus to them without even speaking in tongues. Without even being religious. And then eventually they come to you and say, can I ask you something? You've been catching all this, and how do you deal with it? Open up the door. Listen, the only reason why I don't get angry and upset like I used to is because I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I got this peace inside of me. So when the storms rise up, let me just tell you about my Jesus. And if you apply the same Jesus in your life, you'll have the same results and even greater. Because even greater things you'll do than what Jesus did. That's what the Bible says. See, that's how you attract the unbelievers, not by beating them on the head and say, here's a Bible, don't you know, thus saith the Lord, you gotta quit smoking, you gotta quit drinking, you're going to hell, you can't wear makeup because that's gonna, you know. No! If you have a skin blemish, it's okay to put a little makeup on. It's all right to wear a little cologne or perfume, ladies, men. Amen? It's all right to go buy a new pair of pants. Well, I like Walmart. We killed it at Sam's yesterday. I mean, you know, I mean, we knocked that place right out of there, you know. Got a Jewish God, man. He got me wholesale. $100 jacket we get for $29. Come on. I could have went and bought it at some high-end place and said, look, I spent $300. You're like, you fool. I spent $30. Same jacket, same name brand, $30. That left me a whole bunch of more money that I can go tithe and go give to somebody else or bless somebody. Being a witness. Get in there at Stan and go, praise God, I got a deal. Everyone's looking at you like, what just happened to him? No, we got a sale here, man. Reebok shorts, I got $12. You go to the Reebok store and spend $34 for it. I paid $12 for gym shorts. Now I look good when I go to the gym, stepping on those women's oxygens. Just trying to match the color of my... Oh, I'm sorry about that. I must be stepping on you. Hope you're not an unbeliever, because I don't want you to go to heaven yet, wherever you go, home, praise the Lord. That's a nice color blue you have on your face. Sorry. We used to tease my dad the same way. He'd be in the other room, and he had this big oxygen line, and we had to step on it, you know. Hey, Dad, are you okay? Just kidding, Dad. Remember that time when you raised that stick and you beat me? Remember the time you yelled at me? Just getting even with you. How's that feel? Just kidding. How am I going to recover from this, you say? I don't know. You keep it real. You use your life as a kind of a joke because it's funny sometimes. You got to look at yourself and laugh sometimes. You say, God, you got a sense of humor. I've gone through all this hell, and all I had to do was do this, and it would have been taken care of, but no, I went around this other mountain and through these other tall 14 friends and dialed a psychic, and they told me all these things, and then I called Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil said, do that. And all the time, all he said, if you would just ask me, I would have took care of it for you. God's funny. You got to make the gospel attractive to those that are lost, living in this dying world. It's our responsibility to draw them to Jesus. The only Jesus they'll see is you. Don't be religious. Be in relationship. Draw people because you got something to offer. You got Jesus. You got God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit with you. Everywhere you go, you're loaded up. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You're a champion with a cause. You need to step into victory lane. Now, I'm not going to knock this ice bucket challenge stuff, and that's all good, and people calm back. But if we were just to take the same effort and just pray, if we would take the same effort and challenge three people, I challenge you three people to spend 30 minutes praying and praising God. Hey, I would do these ice buckets. Maybe I'm going to start that. Let's start that. I'm going to have this prayer and praise and worship, and that's all that's going to fall out. Need no ice. Wake me up. They need Jesus to get rid of the ALS. They just need a little touch of the Word of God, and that their life was changed. You got to be found faithful and loyal and reliable. People see these traits in your life and will be attracted to you. Don't be that Christian that's not faithful, that's not loyal, and not reliable. You give us all bad name. Your faith should be seen, just like the four men in the story told this morning. Our faith should be in action. Faith should bring results. Our faith should attract other people to the gospel. You don't think after those four guys drilled a hole in the roof and did all that, you don't think there's a whole bunch of people that came and talked to them after? They said, man, you guys, I can't believe you guys. We're just following Jesus. Our friend didn't know him. We know if we could get him to Jesus. We know there were some obstacles. We knew there were some issues. We knew there were some concerns. You know, he couldn't do it on his own, so we needed to help him. There's some people that need your help. Make an effort this week to reach out and touch somebody. Amen? Be active in sharing the Word of God that's inside of you. You don't have to beat them up with the Word. Just use your testimony. Say, you know, I was going through the same thing, brother, sister. I was going through the same, and you ain't gonna be. All of a sudden, man, I got a hold. Someone spoke this word to me. I started reading the Bible, and I didn't understand it at first, but then I just focused on a couple of scriptures, and all of a sudden, the Word of God became real for me. I know you went through this cancer, and they gave you this report that you're gonna die, but the Lord's book. The Bible says that by His stripes you were healed, and that you already were healed. It means it already took place, and all you got to do is believe that. But if you keep on confessing that you're going to die, guess what? You're going to die. If you confess I'm going to live, there's a good chance that you can live. Be active in sharing your testimony, but declare that to people that they need to be drawn to Jesus. Every morning you wake up, just go out and just be you to somebody. You got a testimony. You're already going to heaven. They may not be. You got to get them to the plan where they're going to heaven. Amen? Don't beat them up. Be a friend. Amen? And if it isn't you going to get them drawn to Christ, you've already planted a seed. Somebody else will come and water it. My brother beat me in the head with a Bible for years. We thought he joined a cult. And there was this crazy dude that came to my hospital bed for 18 days that led me to the Lord. Someone planted seeds. I rejected. You're crazy. You're this kooky Christian. You're this crazy. And all of a sudden, this guy on my deathbed said to me, do you know Jesus? I mean, and he said in the nicest way, he said, you know, I know that you were a nice altar boy and you did all those things and you know of God, but do you really have a relationship with Him? And he asked the question, do you know if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or not? And I said, are you 100% sure? I'm like, no. Would you like to know? I'd like to know I'm 100% all in, good. And that's how He led me to Christ. 18 days, this guy. I'd see him coming, I'd hit that morphine pump. I could hear him singing. Then he'd bring me this tape, Instruments of Praise, and a cassette. And he left me a cassette player. He gave me the cassette. And I'm like, good, he didn't have a cassette player. Oh, no, he fixed that. And earphones and everything, you know. He said, I'm going to sew this into your life. I'm like, says, you got any AC/DC on it? No. Now, I got the Instruments of Praise. He says, this will draw you right into the heavenly realm. Like, really? And what it did is it spoke to my spirit man. And it softened me. So when he came to lead me to Christ after 18 days, every day, and I would just get to the point, I'm like, why is this guy coming? Because he loved me. Enough to say, hey, I want you to go to hell. He was just a witness. He didn't come and repeat 50 scriptures over me. Then he started coming during his lunch hour, lunch and dinner. But he loved me. He knew I was in balance of going to hell, and he knew it was so important to be there that he would sacrifice eating lunch and dinner and fast that to come see me. Still a kooky dude. I still love him. Maybe a little kooky, but you know, good. But there was something about him that I needed that he had. And there are unbelievers that need what you have. Amen? They want to be attracted. There's something about you that you're attractive. You are. You're attractive. And people want to go to you like a magnet, because there's a Jesus inside of you. When they're going through pain or they lose a loved one, they're going to be calling on you, and how are you going to react? People start telling me their problems. I say, well, let's believe God's going to fix all those things. Well, I got this report. We heard one of our friends got a report that they have ALS. The first thing I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not going to believe that that lady has that. I'm going to accept the report of the Lord that she's healed. Didn't we say that? In a restaurant. Well, I'm believing with you, man. I mean, all of a sudden her faith level rose. Yeah, I'm believing for my friend too. She ain't going to die of ALS. No. She had symptoms like it, but God's really good at that, making the symptoms change. Because when you walk in, faith just walked in. When you just walked in, hope just came up on things. When you walked in, peace just arrived. Shout, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I will walk in the Word of God. I will be the fragrance of the Lord that will attract people to you. Let my example draw people into the kingdom. Jesus, give me your words on my lips. Let me be found doing your word. Let me be a magnet that draws people into relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Did you get anything? Do you understand? That it's already in you. There's a DNA in you already to get it done. Jesus left you the Holy Spirit. Man, you are powerful. You have something that people want to be drawn to. That's the reason why they're watching you. They're going to see if you'll stumble or fall. I can't wait to run for president. I'm going to tell everybody, the first day out, I did all these things, yes, but they're under the blood. And the old things have passed away, and what you see now is the new. Not reconditioned, not refurbished, but brand new. Never been touched, never been sat in before. It's brand new. It's, I want you to smell the newness of me. You ever have a fragrance of a new car? How nice that smells. That's you when you step on site. You got that newness about. There's this crispness. There's something that people are drawn to in you. It's that smile that you got. It's that when something's going wrong, you're not being negative. You're catching hell and you're not going, well, Eeyore, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I'm going to go to Jesus, what I'm going to do. I might have to hit my knees right now. I may have to pray. I may have to go in my prayer closet and speak in tongues for 35, 50, 70, 8 minutes, whatever it's going to take. May just have to come down to church and walk and lay hands in every one of those seats. Whatever God tells me to do. But there's people that are unbelievers that are attracted to you because of who we are. See, sometimes people are attracted to my humor. Sometimes that turns people off. I don't care. I've come to the conclusion, I don't care. I'm just here to try to make it less painful for you. Because the truth is, life is really hard without Jesus. It's tough. We tried it without Jesus. It's tough. Magazines coming to your house that shouldn't be there. Come on. Alcohol and the drugs and the smoking of the dope and this and that. And, you know, come on now. And then God comes in there and all of a sudden it cleans it all up. Just a little by little, you know. Then he brings people in that reassure and confirm. Remember, forget, I'll close with this. A pastor came to our house, and my wife and I, and we went to Mexico, and we liked Kahlua and cream, so we bought like 20 bottles of Kahlua back, you know, because it's always good in your coffee. Of course, Pastor Dinah didn't drink any of the coffee. I did. Okay, I was the only drinker of that coffee. Amen. It was the creamer. It was creamer. You ever have Kahlua creamer? Well, this is real Kahlua, okay? And I remember the pastor said to me, and I never forget, the pastor said to me, came in, he sees all that booze in there, and he says, I said, I only drink a little. He goes, it's all right. He goes, you can just be a little gay too. And I went, he goes, it's just a little. That's how it starts. The devil gets in, and just a little. You just give him just a little bit of room, and all of a sudden he kicks the door open and just, he takes it all over. He says, it's all right just to have a little drink. It's all right to be just a little gay. It's all right to smoke a little weed, right? It ain't going to lead to no trouble. And I went, oh, Jesus. I had someone come and dispose of that. When people go dispose of certain things, is there certain things I didn't want to give up? Can you come and clean my house for me and just get rid of this stuff? Remember Tom Martin, Dad? He came over and he got rid of some of his junk we had. He goes, I will take care of this. I will make sure it gets incinerated. So that none of these things would ever be a temptation. Because you know where they're at. Oh. He goes, God knows where they're at. I might not know where they're at. You know, he said, but he said, so clean it up. Why? He's just trying to help me. He loved me. See, that's what we do for people. We just love on them. I'm not trying to beat them up. Just love on them. Hey, you know what you're doing is you know, it's okay, but it could lead you to this. I mean, how could I say to my kids it's okay, it's not okay to smoke weed unless I'm not smoking it? But if I'm smoking it, I say you can't have it, and my kids go, well, hey, you're doing it. You know, testimony. Go to work every day. Don't be late every day. Guess what? When you know my kids don't show up or do something, and they're late for work, I get undercut. Why? You're just letting down your employer. I teach you to be that way. You're blowing your witness as a Christian. Well, I can't rely on you. I guess you were. You told you'd be there at 10, and you're there at 20 after 10. I know. I'm stepping on your toe. I know. But why can't you be 20 minutes early? If I was giving away $1,000, you'd be at church at 9 o'clock. Right? Now I was giving away free food at the food pantry. People would line up 2 hours early because they knew they were going to get something for free. But ask them to come to church, not one of them would come to church. I feed them spiritually here, and I try to give them the food that they could nourish their body so that they could be able to drive their car to get to church. Did you show a church? No. Can't find him. Can't find your church. Wait, but weren't you here yesterday getting the food at the food pantry that used to be here at the church? Oh, but I couldn't find it on Sunday. Fell out of my GPS on my phone that I got here. I heard it all. But all I'm doing is just trying to be a testimony. Only trying to be a testimony. All just trying to love. Just still love you. And, you got to argue over, you know, you got two pieces of chicken. The other guy got, you know, spare ribs. I mean, my God. It's free. If you don't get what I want, go over to the church over there. They're going to probably give out chicken over there. And the other guy gives old hamburgers over there. I mean, work it. But if you get the word in you, then you don't have to come and get any resources from me. You can go right to the source yourself, and then all of a sudden, then you can be a resource to someone else. I could fix this whole government issues in 5 minutes. Put me in office. I'm not going to run for office, but I know I'd have all your votes. Praise God. They wouldn't like me. I'd just quote a couple of scriptures and verse and Bible. So I'm just going to do what this Bible says, and we'll see how 4 years of me doing the Bible works for y'all. All of a sudden, the wars all come down. All the terrorists are afraid of us because they know that my God is going to kick their butt. All I got to do is get on my knees and watch the enemy start killing themselves off. Wasn't that in the Bible last week we talked about that? And then they had spoils for 3 days. They had to pick up 3 days, man. How I, they're going over to dead by oak, move that dead by oak. Look at this. I mean, gold and the diamond. I mean, I got so much. I don't know how I'm going to carry. I'm going to carry all this. Oh my God, I got so much. Come on now. You go through tests to be a testimony. See, you're there so that you can help unbelievers come to Christ. So just go do it. Just go do it. God's told you to go. Just go be a willing participant and go do it God's way. Not hard. Just go do it. Yeah, you can quit smoking. You can quit drinking. You can quit crawling around. You can quit those things if you just ask God to help you. Get him in the mix. Let me tell you, he will help you out. He will help out your finances. He will help out your family household. He will give you peace when you shouldn't have any peace. He'll give you understanding when you shouldn't have any understanding. He'll give you discipline when you need discipline. He'll give you some correctness when you need some correctness. Come on now. He'll be there for you. He's your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's your counselor. And he's your best friend. And you're an heir and a joint heir with him. My God, how much more can you ask for? Amen. Lord, bless your people. I ask you, Lord, as they go forth, Lord God, that they be a person that is attracting the unbeliever to you. Lord God, let them go get it done for the Son. Allow them, Lord God, to be, Lord God, a testimony in someone's life that will draw them to Christ. I ask you to bless them, guide them, and direct them. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.